tired of those odd noise music stations.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, it changed sound.
Get ready for the Shark Tank.
It's a radio show made entirely by students at George Waters Middle School.
Even me.
And it's full of the bestest content ever.
We made this commercial.
It's on Thursday, May 4th at 7:30 p.m. Only on 101.5 UMFN.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Shark Tank. This show was written and recorded by the students of George Waters Middle School. We came in and gave up our lunch hours to put this show together for you, so the least you can do is tune in for the next half hour. Be forewarned, our show promises to be somewhat unusual, rather silly, and totally strange. We hope that you enjoy the show, and even if you don't, we hope you're still listening anyway.
Are you unsatisfied with your stature?
That means, are you small?
Do others make fun of your diminutive stance?
That means... Wait, I find a dictionary.
Well, worry no longer. No, here at Mario meat. Corp, we have manufactured specialized mushrooms
found
that,
it.
When eaten, can allow you to instantaneously grow to any size that you wish to be.
Call now and order your magic mushroom today. That's today. Only 20 gold coins.
Call 111-MARIO. That's 111-MARIO.
Hi, my name is Justin. I am a reporter from George Waters Middle School. And I am here with Mr. Robson, and I'm here to ask him about his radio show. So what's it like on the station?
Oh, I love it. I have a lot of fun. I like to... I've always liked to listen to a lot of music, but now I get to share it with people. It's a lot of fun. And I love to hear myself talk, which is why I'm a teacher. So being on the radio is perfect for that.
Okay. So what's your show about?
I actually have two shows. I do one on my own on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on UMFM. It's called Tell the Band to Go Home. It's a singer-songwriter show. It's kind of, a lot of people call it a folk show, but I play a lot more than just folk music. And then I have one on Thursday nights with my friends Christy and Terry. We do a thing called Steel Belted Free Range Radio where we play kind of more rockin', some country stuff, some roots rock, that kind of thing. And we basically just goof around a whole lot.
Do you have anybody special come on the show?
That's a good question. You know, I'll be honest with you folks, and this is one of the benefits of listening. I'm not too good at planning in advance, so I kind of figure out what I'm going to play like 20 minutes before I play it sometimes. So I'm not sure what's coming up, but there's always good guests on our show, so you never know.
So how do you get started usually?
Well, almost anybody can have a show here at UMFM. It's a volunteer station. Anybody can come down and learn about radio and get their own show. I happen to have some training. I took some training in high school, and then I worked at a little bit at radio stations and for a couple of years in TV and stuff. So I have some experience, but pretty much anybody can be here. We have people that have never done radio before, and we have people on the station like Howard Manshine, who's been doing radio in Winnipeg for years and years and years. So lots of different people.
What's your favorite band that you play on the station?
You know, I have so many. That's always a hard question. I probably have 2,000 or 3,000 CDs at home, and to pick my favorite is hard. I have a bunch of favorites. I kind of like some rock music. There's a great band from Winnipeg called the Weaker Thans. I love a band called the Rio Statics from Toronto that nobody else has ever heard of, and a band called the Lowest of the Low from Toronto. They're great too. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I like.
So what are you in the school? Are you just a student teacher for now, or?
That's right. Actually, when we're recording this is Friday. This is my very last day as a student teacher. On Monday, I hope to start becoming a substitute teacher, and then eventually I want to get a classroom of my own. So soon, hopefully, I'll be a real teacher.
Okay, I bet the kids will like you.
Some do, some don't. You got to live with that.
Yeah. Be prepared for all the bad ones, eh?
Well, they're all good. They're just good in different ways.
Okay. So do you play for any music? Do you play any old school, like say AC/DC, Metallica, or any of them?
Our station is what we call hit-free radio. We don't play a lot of the stuff that gets played on the other stations. So that stuff gets played all the time on, say, 92 City FM. So we don't play that stuff. We play stuff that, a lot of independent stuff, a lot of stuff that you haven't heard of before. We kind of open doors for people that can't get played on those other stations. So we don't play a lot of that stuff.
Okay, so you're saying that if, say, somebody wanted to make some music and they just wanted you to play it on your station, would you let them?
Absolutely. All kinds of people are always dropping stuff off the station, and we always have guests on the show. Like, I have singer-songwriter guests on my show that some of them don't even have CDs. They just have written songs, and they come down and play them live. So that's one of the best things about the station, is that we give those people an opportunity to be on the radio, which is good for them, and we enjoy it too.
Okay, well, I guess that's it, folks. Well, I'll see you later. This is Justin M. signing off from George Waters Middle School. Bye.
Here at Yosh Ranch, we strive to get only the finest eggs from our Yoshis. We feed them a healthy diet of red berries, Shy Guys, and Goombas. These eggs are nutritious and can be used as a means of self-defense by throwing them at things.
Damn, some good eggs.
As well, we offer Yoshi rental services. They can be used as many things, like mail delivery, transport, and many more things.
To learn more, call 112-MARIO. That's 112-MARIO.
This is a song made on GarageBand by DJ Dupuy. DJ Dupuy's me. Hope you like it.
Classroom stuff starts at 8:15. When I wake up, my clock's blazing. Then I get dressed, my eyes all hazy. Hold out the shower, just plain and faze me. Next thing I know, I'm riding my scooter. It's fast, so I'm loaded up with loot, yeah. I'm waiting at the door, starting to get bored, so I start thinking about what to do with my next song. And then all the kids start rushing in like there's a bomb outside when you're low on them. So walk in after the crowd starts turning the dial to get my books out. And I'm at my desk next, starting to write the test. Like for me, I studied, so it's like getting rest. I'm next in the plan is lunch hour. I'm paid for my pizzas and still go to sit down. After lunch, you go to the radio show. I still have an interview, Mr. K, yo. Next is gym. We start with basketball. I'm shooting hoops, but I miss as much as no cost dolls. After that, I get ready to go home. I turn on my MP3 and blast all the songs. I look to the sky and pray to the Lord. Thank God for the weekend, because, man, I'm bored.
Hi, I'm Dana.
Hi, and I'm Sarah.
And we are here from George Waters Middle School.
We are here to interview our vice principal, Mr. Cahooley. How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching 26 years.
What other schools did you teach at?
I taught at 4 other schools.
Could you name them?
I can name them. No, it'll probably be 5. I taught at Ross L. Gray School in Sprague, Manitoba. I taught at Lorette Collegiate. I taught at Stevenson Britannia. I taught at Bruce Middle School, Silver Heights, and now here. So that was 5. I lied. I taught at 5 other schools before.
What was the most funniest thing that happened when you were teaching?
In terms of kids or in terms of how funny happened to me? The funniest thing that happened to me. I don't know if I can pick out a specific funniest thing. There's been so many. And
what was the thing that happened
that I thought was the funniest.
What was the most scariest thing that happened?
Well, I know I talked to you guys before, and I'll say it again. The scariest thing that happened was when I asked a girl to do a vault. She went over the vault and hit the whole thing and took the whole vaulting box over with her and landed on her head. I thought that was pretty scary.
How do you find being a principal? Do you find it interesting or non-interesting?
I find it interesting because every time I come to school every day, you never know what's going to happen. Every day's different. Every day's exciting. Some days are good. Some days are not so good. But like I say, it's exciting every day.
What was your most embarrassing thing that happened?
The only one that comes to mind, and I'm sure there have been a few, I was writing on an overhead one time, and I was writing a word, and I stopped to talk to the students, and the three letters I had written down on the overhead, and I stopped, spelled something that was pretty bad. So all the kids are looking at the overhead, and there's some rude word up on the screen, and then they didn't say anything, though. They were pretty good. And then finally, one little girl, well, I was junior high, so it was a bigger girl. Mr. Gilhooly, did you see what you wrote on the overhead? So I turned and looked, and there was a rude word up there. So I thought that was pretty funny, but it was awesome. So that was it.
What was your most fun thing that happened at your school?
I like the special events type of things. So when you...
Gym blast.
We organized... Even when I was at Bruce, we had an obstacle course that we set up in the whole gym, and every team, every room had a team, and they came down and got to participate and go through this obstacle course, and that was fun. I like coaching, so I thought that was fun. I've always coached basketball teams and badminton teams and wrestling teams, and so going to tournaments I thought were fun. Just being with the kids is fun. That's what I find the best, is just, you know, when you're not in a classroom, not that the classroom can be fun too, but the coaching part for me is you get to know the kids on a different level, and I find that to be good.
What would you prefer as being a principal, a teacher, or a gym teacher?
Well, I was a gym teacher for 25 years, and that was the best job anybody could have. But now that I'm a principal, it's a different type of job. I would say you probably had more fun being a gym teacher, but I think I make as much of an impact, or I have you have more of an effect as a principal. I think I didn't think that would happen, but it has. So they're different in what you do and your responsibilities, but that's my answer.
What's with that hair? It's Gump. He delivers in a flash. How does he do it? Is he inbred? Who knows? All we know is run, Forrest, run! There he goes! Whoosh!
Call now at 111 Gump. That's 111 GUMP.
Hi, kids. Mr. Robson here. For those of you who don't know, I worked with these kids, helping them put together this radio show. They did a great job. A bunch of them came in and recorded stuff at lunch, and they did a fantastic job, I thought. This is the result. I just wanted to apologize and say a little note about this next piece. This next one is a story written by a young lady named Danica, who worked really hard on the story and came in and recorded, and somehow, I don't know what happened, but somehow the beginning of her story got cut off, and I can't fix it. So we're missing the very beginning of this story, but it's a wonderful story. You'll catch it very quickly. It's a story about a lawn gnome. You like it. Anyway, sorry, Danica. Sometimes these things happen. So anyways, we join our story already in progress.
You would know that they have a very unique personality of their own. Gnomes often have names created to suit their figurine. This one particular gnome was called Giant. Giant looked like she was trying to grab for the moon, and she stood on her tiptoes trying to touch the sky. She had a teal hat like Santa Claus, but it had two tails. As well, it also had pom-poms at the end. Her hair was small, curly ringlets that fell around her neck. She wore an awkward dress with teal ribbon that tied at the back to match her shoes. One evening, under the light of the full moon, something magical happened. As a moonbeam highlighted the little gnome, an ethereal aura, her tiny ceramic heart started to beat. Like a jolt of lightning coursing through her body, she came to life. Looking around, she blinked her wide, crystal blue eyes. Oh my, were the little gnome's first words. She took a few steps and then a little more. Soon, she was at the end of her lawn. All was still and silent, so she wandered down the pavement of the road. She came to a large area, like her lawn, but filled with much more trees, bushes, and shrubs. We would call it a park. Taking a steady pace into the park, she explored until she could explore no longer. Sitting upon a hill, she stood up and looked down at the deep slope. The exhaust was unbearable for the little gnome, and she collapsed. Her unconscious body fell down the hill and rolled into a nearby creek. When Giant awoke, she was on the bank of a dark, scary-looking forest. The trees were dead and the branches bare. The entire area was clouded in a shroud of darkness and radiated a black mist that smelled of rotting creatures. With nowhere else to go, Giant boldly strode into the bleak woodlands. The smell of decay amplified as she ventured forth. She felt as if impending doom was close. Picking stealth over none, she crept slowly. In a bolt of speed, a shady, wolf-like creature sprang from out behind a tree, ready to tear the animated gnome limb from limb. Overwhelmed with dread of her life, she stumbled back, forgetting her pride. Right before the creature was about to eviscerate the poor little gnome, a werefare intervened and gouged the creature's eyes out with his razor-sharp claws. The dog ran away, whimpering and howling. "This might just work," the ferret said in a sly, quiet voice. "Who are you, kind creature?" Giant asked innocently. "I am Loki, but a humble ferret of these dangerous areas. Who, may I ask, are you, ingenuous gnome?" "I am Giant. Pleasure to meet you, noble ferret." "Call me not noble. It does not befit me." "Little gnome of such an oxymoronic name, have you been told the tale of the golden platypus?" "No, I have not. What do they say?" "Only that it would make a most lovely gift for a beloved one. Little gnome, pure of heart, help me get this gift for the most deserving. I wish to give it to my only child, who is 6 and needs the most tenderest of admiration. It would be an honor to help my fair friend. But tell me, where is the platypus hidden?" "I shall lead and you shall follow. Trust me." The duo traveled across the dark forest, over the river of lost souls, through the cemetery of traitors, and stopped at the cavern of Perilous. "Little gnome, I see in darkness such as this." Loki pointed into the cavern that seemed to wail in pain. "Are you sure that inside here is the golden platypus?" Giant asked, looking into the cavern. The ferret ran up and grabbed her hands and pleaded, "Please, don't tell me that you are giving it second thoughts. My child needs this. Don't take away her only chance to live." "It is a cause of most noble deeds you have chosen. Lead and I shall follow, for the good of a soul depends on my help. Let us walk into this with hope and we shall succeed." Together they walked into the gloom of the cavern, through the winding tunnels and jagged paths. They came upon a dimly lit area. Loki ushered Giant forward, and she did so, Taking a few short steps before stopping to a sudden halt, she saw a great spider weave its way to the cavern floor. Only one of pure heart can acquire the golden platypus, the spider whispered in an airy yet venomous voice. O gracious spider, guardian of which I so dearly need, I request the gift not for myself, but for my kind feral friend. For his child is sick and needs a renewing hope. Please, please, my magnificent spidery friend, let me aid those who need help. Where have such an ancient arachnid as I seen such a hopeful soul? Let the treasure be your assistant to the world, and let it cure the ailing child. With a shine of blinding light, the spider slowly transformed into a golden statuette of a platypus. With a cheer of triumph, the gnome picked up the platypus. But when she turned around, Loki was gone. Oh my, where shall I go in this murky cave? The platypus illuminated the area, so she was able to see. But without the guide of her ferret, she quickly became lost. With a yawn and a stretch of her limbs, she curled up in a ball and fell asleep, holding tightly the golden figurine. When she awoke, she was hanging upside down over a vat of bubbling acid. Taking a look around, she spotted none other than Loki holding the platypus. His smirk was all but unnoticeable. Ah, yes, the little gnome named Giant. Loki hissed, adding strong force to the words little and giant. Loki, how could you do this? Giant exclaimed. How could I not, naive gnome? Have you no idea what the true purpose is of the platypus? Giant just shook her head, refusing to talk to the monstrosity creature. You see, when placed under moonlight, the platypus becomes real, and if under the supervision of an evil being, the platypus becomes subservient. Not only that, the platypus is an omnipotent creature. I can rule the world. You are mad. Am I? We'll let you figure that out once you're dead. Loki laughed evilly and left the gnome to a little to her death. Or would have if this didn't happen. Breaking through the stone wall came a gallant emu shining in clad armor. The emu ate the ferret and saved the gnome right before she was about to sink into the acid. Oh, heroic emu, have you a name that I may call upon? I have not a name, but whatever, whenever, wherever, I shall help those in need of rescue, for I am a valiant heart. Let us return you to your rightful home, kind lost gnome. Giant, holding onto the statue dearly, rode upon the emu over the land that was unfamiliar to her, traveling through a waterfall, taking her back to the park, where she had fallen, was the exact same night that she had left. The full moon hung in the sky still, and the dew-scented air was much needed. Returning home, a weary gnome she was, standing in the same position as she was before she left, she looked to the emu. Thank you, most considerate creature. I wish not for my life to end, and I shed tears for the adventures I will miss. Innocent gnome, let me tell you this. The world is not meant for a gnome. They are meant for people who are real. But look to the full moon every month, and you will know that wherever there is help, I shall be there. I will hold you with every kind deed I do, so that you may feel that you have helped. With a simple bow of her head, she looked to the moon and gave a final thought of hope, that she may once more return to the land unknown to her, if only for a visit. As quickly as it came, she returned once more to her unconscious state, but this time grasping the figurine. May you guard that treasure well, little gnome. I trust you well with it. The emu left the lawn and returned home, wishing a silent prayer that the gnome may find true peace in her home.
Hello, I'm Brandon Dupuy, and I'm interviewing Mr. Kavash from George Waters Middle School. So, Mr. Kavash, what subjects do you teach?
I teach language arts, social studies, and French.
What room do you teach it in?
I teach all my classes in room 9.
Do any other teachers teach in there?
Yes, actually, Ms. Butcher teaches science in my classroom as well.
Well, what's your favorite class to teach?
I really don't have any preference. I find teaching all my classes really fun.
Is there any embarrassing moments that have happened to you?
Actually, one that really sticks out, Brendan. My first year student teaching, I was doing a class of phys ed, and I was down giving instructions from the bench. And when I went to stand up, my shorts latched onto the bench that I was sitting on, like through like a sliver in the bench. And when I stood up, my shorts didn't come with me. So I was sitting there in my underwear. So it was very, very embarrassing, to say the least.
Did anyone laugh, or was it just pause, like staring?
At first, there was a moment of shock, I believe, where they didn't really know what to do. And then, yes, it erupted into a huge laughter.
Did you start laughing too, or did you just pull up your pants?
I think one of the things about being a middle school teacher is that you have to learn to laugh at yourself. And in that situation, yes, I did have a good chuckle at myself.
What was your job before teaching?
Before teaching, I had a couple little things that I did. My parents own a restaurant, Cheers Restaurant, for that shameless plug. I just helped out there, and I also worked as a Canon rep for a few years.
But what is your favorite sport?
I'm a huge basketball fan.
Do you have any favorite players in basketball or other sports?
For basketball, my favorite player is Allen Iverson. I actually had a chance to go down to Philadelphia and watch him play, which was quite spectacular. In hockey, my favorite player is Steve Yzerman.
I've noticed in class you talk about Steve Yzerman a lot.
Yes, I do, Brendan.
Sorry, I pointed that out. What was your favorite day of the year when you were a kid?
My favorite day of the year when I was a kid? It's probably got to be a nice tie between my birthday and Christmas, pretty much because I got presents.
This is kind of a strange question, but I'm kind of running out. When did you find out Santa wasn't real?
Having two older brothers, I realized it pretty quick because they'd tell me all the time.
Well, that about wraps it up. I got no more questions. I'd ask for your first name, but you don't want people calling you by your first name. Okay, bye, Mr. Cavadas.
Bye, and thank you for interviewing me.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Shark Tank. We would like to thank Mr. Kahuli, Mr. Cavadas, and Mr. Robson for appearing on our show. Special thanks to 101.5 UMFM for giving us the opportunity. If you have questions or comments about this show, you can contact our most excellent student teacher by emailing him at mrrobson@shaw.ca. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned to UMFM for more great locally provided programming.